One, two, three, and we are live. All right, this is Lola and Robbie on our fifth podcast, I think.
Number five.
And Lola, I picked out a topic. I found something on Forbes about happiness, and there's a million articles on happiness. Everyone's looking for happiness.
Everybody.
And I want to read you just, there's no way we can go over the entire article, but I want to read you just the top portion and kind of get your input. But it says, the headline was, "The top eight things people desperately desire but can't seem to attain." Ooh. And these are the eight things: happiness, money, freedom, peace, joy, balance, fulfillment, and confidence. And I got to tell you, those are the eight.
Wow.
I'm thinking, tell me if I'm crazy.
And those, it says that people desire but can't attain.
Can't attain.
Oh my.
So out of the seven, so there's eight. Happiness is one, right? But then they have money, freedom, peace, joy, balance, fulfillment, and confidence. I'm thinking if you have those seven,
you'd be happy, right?
But the point is, they have taken happiness and separated it out as a separate thing besides money and freedom. So I thought that was pretty. Let me tell you what they say about happiness and get your thought on this. But the two I really want to talk about today in this video is fulfillment and confidence. Those are the two that are very near and dear to me. I've had both of those in abundance, and I've had a complete lack of both of those. Mm-hmm. And man, what a difference. So, but anyway, on happiness, this is what the author said. Happiness has become so hard to achieve and even harder to maintain, mainly because of two reasons. First, people don't understand exactly what makes them happy. They just don't know themselves. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And secondly, they search for happiness outside of themselves. In a job, a significant other, a family, a title, a paycheck, a fancy house. They're checking out there, and that's the stuff you really don't have control over.
Absolutely. They want it to be defined, and happiness is one of those things that can't be easily defined. It's sort of numinous, and it's more of a phenomena than it is an actual thing.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's something that comes and goes in waves. It's transient to a large degree. And I think that's why a lot of people are left with the feeling of chasing happiness.
That's a good point. That's okay, so that goes right to their other seven things, or really the eight things. Let's go with fulfillment. I'm going to tell you what the definition of, and thank you for that. Let me tell you what the definition of fulfillment is. Utilizing my potential in the best possible way for myself and for others. Right? And then they go into a paragraph, they say, we simply can't experience fulfillment if we're not living up to what we know is our highest and best potential. But to live up to that, we have to live outside of our comfort zone, beyond what even perhaps we have, even we have to leave behind the definition of what we've crafted to be who we think we are. And I, another guy said, and I actually had this on my calendar, so I use Google Calendar, and every day I have something come up, a saying. So I have seven sayings that I like that continually come up every week, and one of them is, it's about, and of course I'm going to forget it, it's about living outside of your comfort zone, that you only expand and truly fulfill yourself when you're outside of your comfort zone. And I agree with that 100%.
I do as well, and isn't that just the kind of catch that no one wants?
Yeah.
To consistently have to stretch yourself to the limits and outside of your comfort zone. And I identify with that so much because I feel like fulfillment is one of those things that I'm consistently chasing. And I try to stop myself because sometimes I just want a year where there's nothing happening, where there's nothing new. But then I find myself feeling bored and antsy and feeling as if I'm slacking and not living up to my potential or not doing enough to help someone else or help the world. And then it just drives me to go and do something new and anxiety inducing. And yeah.
So fulfillment. All right. So I want to ask you about fulfillment. Well, let me tell you real quick about me. So I do videos and everything else. Okay. And I love doing video, but Lola, there are times when I'm doing the job and it just feels like I'm doing a job. Mm-hmm. I just did a video, the guy's happy. I did a video, the woman's happy. When somebody calls me and says, Rob, this video, man, this is fantastic. I did a video for a company, And then I had a guy inside the company that reached out to me and said, Rob, the video you did for our CEO, we need to use that for investors and stuff. And it was really about the company. Can you edit it? Because you have stuff in there that we've been trying to capture somehow about our culture and things like that. That's in it. So I redid the video for that purpose. And no extra money. It was just because I already done the video. I just took another hour. But his email back to me, the compliment, I felt so much better. I didn't just do a video. I felt like I fulfilled something. And I felt so much better about myself that day. I didn't get paid any more money. But that to me is a sense of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, then there's days where I just feel like I'm just doing videos. You know, and that's what gets hard. How do you feel? I mean, do you, in your opinion, do you look at yourself, or do you tell your clients, look at yourself, look at everything you bring to the table, even though it may be a regular day for you, you've just helped someone or...
Exactly. It's important to be able to step outside of ourselves and hold the view that someone else may be taking in, because other people can be appreciative of you and what you do and really see mastery, because it's something that they themselves can't do.
True.
Like, I'm always blown away by people in your line of work, because to me it seems glamorous, fascinating. It seems like you're always on the go and meeting new people and doing new stuff. It looks like a hell of a life. And so you just have to take into account that the people that you come in contact with and you're making videos for, they need you. It's something that they aren't capable of doing themselves, and just the professionalism and the nice aura and attitude that you have, it can make a person's day. And I don't know if you know this or don't know this, but people aren't always just the nicest or easiest to be around or work with. So when you show up somewhere and you're you, then it just turned everything around for that person. And you might actually be the only nice person someone comes in contact with the entire day.
Oh, wow. Never thought about that.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. Wow. And what about the opposite? You're doing, so someone who has a regular job, 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
and they get into a rut, and they don't realize what they're actually bringing to the company, or they don't feel like they're being acknowledged for what they bring to the company, but they're providing a very good service 40 hours a week.
Exactly. That could, the company could not go on without them. They're very much an integral part of things. And so I think it's important for people to remind themselves on a daily basis, a place for everyone and everyone in their place. But if you find yourself feeling complacent or feeling as if you're unfulfilled, it's okay. Just acknowledge that and then think about what inside of you needs to be fed. Maybe it's something totally unrelated to work. Maybe you have put aside other passions and just thrown yourself into work, and so now you're unfulfilled.
Oh, good point.
You know, I meet a lot of people that are working their 9 to 5 jobs, but then the more I get to know them, I find out they can sing, or they can paint, or they can write, or they may have psychic capabilities. And all of these things are just kind of on a shelf somewhere. They're not tapping into this. And so that's when I say, well, hey, you've literally cut off a piece of yourself. And so if you are operating at limited capacity because you've totally shut off a part of yourself, you have to open that valve and let everything come rushing out.
Yeah.
And that would help you feel more fulfilled, because you'd be tapping into your authentic self. So often people suppress the authentic self.
Yeah, doing what you love. So do what you love. Even if it, so your job may be your job, but really you have to learn how to love your job.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah, because again, you're bringing a service to somebody and you have to be proud of that. That's a huge, but yeah, doing so a good hobby. Also, I think, Lola, I think giving back. Years ago, I volunteered, and I need to do this again since I'm saying years ago. I volunteered for my church. I just called them up and said, hey, you guys have anything going on? I just have some time. They said, hey, we're painting a house on Saturday, painting a fence for 2 different houses on Saturday. We need some help. I'm thinking, all right, painting a fence. And it was for a halfway house. And with the church people, there's also the people from the halfway house. So we all worked together painting this huge fence on 2 different properties. By the end of the day, Lola, I felt like, and all I did was paint a fence and talk to people. I can't tell, when I came home, I remember calling my friends, I'm like, dude, have you ever volunteered? you got to volunteer. I felt so good that day. You know, no money involved, time out of my Saturday.
But you felt amazing.
Yes. So giving back, money's great. If you can afford to give money, that's awesome. But if you could afford to give your time.
Time, that's the number one thing where you're going to feel the most reward the most immediately.
Yeah.
Is when you give of yourself. I 100% agree.
All right, let's talk about the opposite, fulfillment. You're feeling pretty good, and either your boss or a client is just not satisfied. And they tell you, you know, Lola, you let me down, you bought whatever. And we're not saying they're right, but it's one person, and that one person can affect your entire week, right? And then you feel like, once in a blue moon, I've gotten people say, hey, Rob, man, this is not what I expected with the video. And I have my guarantee, so I always get it right because it's right. But at that moment, I'm thinking, man, how did I screw? How did I miss the point so much? And you start questioning yourself. It's immediately you start questioning. Doesn't matter how much experience you have. So how do you, because again, that takes away from your fulfillment.
It sure does.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Man.
Oh my gosh. No, the moment you said that, what if someone expresses dissatisfaction? I had this vision of a client years ago. He was a French guy. And French people are very direct. And he stands up midway through our session and he's like, Lola, this is not working for me today. This is shit. I'm not getting what I need.
Wow. Holy cow.
Oh my gosh. And I said, really? And he's like, yeah. And so then he starts pacing around the room and he holds up a corner there and then he'd hold up another corner and say, I'm not happy. This isn't working for me today. I don't know. I just think I'm going to go. I was like, well, are you sure you don't want to have a seat and we can continue? Because I can tell you're really upset. And I'm thinking, and I'm upset too. And I want some resolve. But I'm like, I can tell you're really upset. No, this isn't working for me. I was like, okay, well, you just call me if and when you're ready to come back. And he came back the next week and he apologized. But he was like, you know, I was just having a really, really bad day. I'd had a rough morning and I argued with my spouse, and I'm like, well, all of these are things that you should have spoken about the moment you sat down on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just fed up with everybody, and, you know, and I know you're going to be positive and try and tell me something positive. I said, you don't know what I was going to say, but you didn't give me a chance because you weren't transparent.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say, yeah, that can affect the rest of your day or the rest of your week.
How did you deal with that? Because now that was probably one of several clients in a day, right?
Yeah, and so that's something else. I tend to do back-to-back because I like to just go, go, go. So he was probably number 3 out of 8.
Wow.
For the day. So I still had a whole bunch of people left to see. And I was like, wow. And I'm going over in my mind and I'm like, I know I was listening. I'm listening. I'm present. I'm engaged. My mind wasn't wandering. You know, I was checking myself to make sure, well, were you thinking about your grocery list? Or were you doing this? Or no, I was really there in the moment. But you can't help someone else's perception, and his feelings are valid, because if he's not getting what he felt like he needed, then that's okay for him to say so. And so when he came back and apologized, I said, you know, your delivery was rough. However, I do appreciate, you know, you being transparent and saying that you weren't getting what you need. And that's always what you should do, is tell someone and advocate for what it is you need. But just make sure that you are doing what you need to do for yourself before you try and place the blame or burden onto another person.
That's a good point. Yeah, another good point. Okay. So, and in regards to fulfillment, I'll also say this, and I read this one time, and I made this list probably 2 years ago. Make a list of all the things that you have in your life. And when I read it, it was a guy who was speaking about it, and he said, look, you're going to think, especially if you're not happy, you're going to think you don't have that much, mm-hmm. right? He goes, so start off. He goes, for instance, do you have a job? And people started laughing in the audience because a lot of people don't like their job.
But you have one.
Yes. What if you lost your job today? Right now you lost your job. The first thing you do is go out and look for another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you don't have that peace of mind of a paycheck. So write down your job. And he said, let me ask you, I know you don't like your job, because let's go with that. He said, you get paid days off. So if you're homesick, are you still getting paid? Just because that's a good thing. Write that down. Do you get paid vacation? Yes. Okay, well, write that. These are all things that people don't, they just
don't think about, yes. Take for granted.
Yes. And then he went down. So I did this list. And Lola, I started, let's say I got to number 10. I'm thinking, what else? But then you start writing out all the stuff and you realize all the things you have in your life. And there really are a bunch that you have
going
for you.
There are so many.
And here's what I did. And it was either from this guy or I read it somewhere. Because you're looking at this list, you're like, okay. He said, now take a pen and put a line through any one of those things. What if this thing was not in your life? And man, when you do that, you physically do that and take that thing out of your life, like, wow, that's... Even when I had my piece of crap car, I had a car that was running.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I just put a line, what if my car got stolen today? I had three places I had to be that day. What would I, yeah, you can go rent a car, you can Uber. Well, I couldn't Uber all the way up to Cyprus. But yeah, even that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think being grateful, having a list of things, and if you've never done that, I highly recommend that. Write everything that you have in your life.
Absolutely. Gratitude is so important. Yeah. Gratitude is an essential foundation for navigating life, because if you lack gratitude, you're going to be knocked down considerably all the time by life's obstacles or little barriers that you run into because you're not keeping your fuel tank of gratitude full.
Explain that, because that's awesome. Explain that.
So your fuel tank of gratitude is, it's that bank, it's that fuel tank of things that are working for you in life. Things that, like you said, Rob, that a lot of people take for granted, but that are there and that are essential to your overall functioning and well-being, so much so that you don't even recognize it or think about it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So it's important to recognize the little things and be grateful, and also have gratitude for even people in your life that you meet in passing. It could be the guy or girl at the coffee shop in the morning, or a person that passes you in the gas station, but they hold the door as you go inside and they're leaving. Just little things like that, little courtesies. It's important to be grateful. It's important to be grateful for going outside at night and you see a beautiful moon.
Yeah.
It's important to be grateful if you see children playing on a playground and it brings back a memory for you. Just little things.
That's a good point.
And I think that's why, like, puppies and kittens and videos like that and stuff are so popular on social media, because it makes you think about just the little things in life that hold beauty.
Yeah. And that's all part, again, it's being grateful is all part of fulfillment. And again, doing what you love, it may not be your job, but first of all, you could like your job. If you start to look at your job differently, you start to have a better respect for it. That's number one. So you really should... Whatever the heck you're doing in life, I think you should look at what you're doing and be grateful for it and realize what you bring into that job, that company, and that, and then do what you love. Do what you love. It may be something outside of that job, and then if you can do what you love for a living, that's the ultimate.
Absolutely. And I think people run into a problem, too, when they think doing what you love means that you have to be really good at that thing.
Oh, good point.
You can love something and do it, but you don't have to be perfection. You don't have to be good at it at all. But if it brings you joy, why not do it?
Yeah.
You may love to sing, but if you can't sing, does that mean you should shut up? No, sing.
Yeah.
Go out and sing. Go to karaoke. Go to open mic nights. Go and let people hear you and hear the joy that you bring to a song. It doesn't matter if you can hold a tune or not, just doing what you love because you love it and it brings you joy. And joy is one of those things that's contagious.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Joy is more obtainable than happiness.
Ah, explain that.
Well, joy, it's one of those things that you can experience in bursts. So whenever I meet people that are complaining about not being happy, I tell them, okay, well, let's start by looking for moments of joy, just small little moments of joy from now to the next week. I want you to be on the lookout for any little thing that brings you joy, whatever that looks like. And people surprise themselves. They find a lot of little things that create moments of joy.
Oh, that's true. And I bet you at the end of the week, you'll actually have a bunch of things on
there.
If you're keeping track of
it. Yeah, you'll have a bunch of things that brought you joy.
Oh, wow. I had a, I'll just make this, I don't want to get into religion, but I went to confession a couple of weeks ago, and the priest said to me, okay, Rob, you know, say one Hail Mary, and then he said, and do something nice for someone that they're not expecting. Could be anything. It could be someone you know, someone you don't know. I'm like, all right, great. So this is like a Saturday morning. He said, do it today. Well, it's like Saturday, 7 o'clock. I haven't given it. I'm like, man, what am I? So I actually sent my brother a text because he's my brother. Brothers, we take each other, you know, we're for granted. But I sent him a real nice text about he's been there for me.
Oh.
Man, he wrote me back such a long text, which we never do, thanking me. That was, again, that was a feeling of fulfillment. So doing something, saying something nice to people who are in your life, number one, and even strangers, strangers. I had a woman, I was at a supermarket at HEB, and there's an older woman behind me, and I see her looking at me, and I'm thinking, does she know me? And Lola, I just came from the gym. This is during the summer. I was in a t-shirt, so I was just getting some quick stuff. And she's looking at me. She says, excuse me, I just want to tell you something. You have a very nice body. I don't mean anything by that. You know, as an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, well, Lola, I was on cloud nine for like
like, okay.
Yeah,
this day started out good.
So, man, I'm telling you, saying something nice even to a stranger, a thank you, or saying something nice, anything, is also, and that always comes back to you. I think all of that is part of fulfillment.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Being fulfilled. So all right. So let's sum up fulfillment. In my opinion, you tell me. I think it's number one. Gratitude is part of fulfillment. Finding out what you like, what you enjoy, and seeing. I love what you said. Seeing all the joy you have in your life that you probably don't see, but really be aware of it. Because then you realize, man, I do have all these things in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes a wake-up call, unfortunately, is when you lose someone in your life that was there. Somebody, could be anyone, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to hang out with Joe. You just never get around to calling Joe, and then he's gone, and the first thing you're saying is, man, I should have hung out with him more. So start doing those things that are on your list, even though you don't have a list.
Exactly. Make time. Make time for the things that you think you don't have time for. I think that's a huge part of fulfillment. I 100% agree with you when you talk about gratitude and fulfillment being tethered together. Absolutely, gratitude is necessary, and if you truly allow yourself to view the world through grateful eyes, you're going to feel more fulfilled.
Yeah.
Because you're going to realize just how much you have to be grateful for and how much you've obviously put into life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people underestimate their own grit and the sweat equity that they pour into life every day because they think they're just in the daily grind, but that daily grind takes effort and it takes a champion to get up and do it every day.
That's right. And even in that grind, there's a lot of good things that you may not. So I'm gonna close out my part with saying this. It just came to me. There's something that most of us don't like, and then it was a speaker talked about how we should all love it. He talked about stoplights, red lights. He goes, how many times are you trying to get to work anywhere? And the damn red light catches you, and you got to stop, and you're annoyed. We all hate red lights. He said, and honestly, we shouldn't call them stoplights. We should call them go lights, because when that light is out, that intersection is a madhouse. It takes forever to get through that intersection.
That's true.
He said, those are all go lights, because imagine if you have a power outage in an area, and none of the lights are working. Forget about it. He said, so when you get to a red light, that's okay, because it's because of that. He called them go lights.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, go light. So the next time you get to a go light, just stop, take a deep breath, take it all in, and recognize how much you have to be grateful for.
That's a good point. Very good. All right. So Lola, let's talk about this other thing that is on my list, on my vision board, which I'm going to tell you about my vision board here in a second. If you've never done one, you probably did one, but a lot of people probably have never even talked about it, thought about it. Confidence. So I'm watching whatever I was watching a month ago on YouTube, and Steve Harvey came up, one of the video by Steve Harvey talking about a vision board. And I watched this thing, and he's like, man, now the man is obviously successful, very rich. He knows a bunch of rich people, and he said, I'm going to tell you straight out, there is nobody that I know that has money that does not have a vision board. And that landed with me. I'm like, okay, I have to look into this. And he explains how to do it. Well, on my vision board, which, you know, is pictures and writing, words and everything, the very top thing I have on mine is confidence. because I think if I had more confidence, I mean, there are people that I know that if I could afford to hire them to sell my services, I think I'd be number mm-hmm. one in Houston, right? Because they are so, they'd go out, talk to anybody about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, confidence goes into a lot of different areas. But confidence, so let me tell you what this Forbes article said. Their definition was feeling like I have something to offer now, rather than feeling consistently as if I'm not ready or I need more training. Like, here I am, who I am. And it said here, when we're in situations that are hurtful, demeaning, challenging, or even worse, we lose confidence. We get rocked and we stay rocked. We forget who we are and what we are capable of. But if you have confidence, you're just like, okay, this happened. And if ever you meet, and you are a very confident person, but I'm assuming some of the people that you meet are either lacking, or some people are maybe overly confident where nothing seems to affect them. In a way, I know there's probably some bad things with that, but man, I wish I was that way, where almost nothing would get to me. I'm like, okay, that's what happened. Let's move on and let's...
You know... Hey, thanks for saying that I'm a confident person, and to a large degree I am, but that has taken a lot of work. And the moment you brought up the term confidence, I thought about fearful and fearlessness. And for me, I think I was once upon a time a person that operated out of fear. And so I can remember there was a time in my life for about 3 years, every single day, I would just wake up and like pray, today, give me the strength to be fearless. Give me the strength to be fearless, because I just didn't want to just be poisoned by fear anymore. Yeah. I wanted to be able to go for my goals, you know, approach adversity and do so fearlessly, because things are gonna happen, but it's how you respond to things that happen that determines like how it's going to impact you, whether it's going to be a positive impact or not. And so that for me was a big confidence builder. And so even though I'm confident, I think there are times when, like everyone, that still wavers a little bit. Even just yesterday, I had a meeting with some very incredible psychological minds in this field, and they are advising me on a project that I'm working on research. And one of the people mentioned Yalom, that is like here in the world of psychology, and mentioned my name in the same sentence, like, oh, this work is going to be groundbreaking, it's going to be incredible, and yes, it's bringing to mind Yalom's work for me. And I was like, what? Wow. Really? And I dreaded that meeting all day long. I had been so nervous about the meeting. And so to have that kind of feedback was incredible. And I was like, oh, wow. But I said, yeah, this was really nerve-wracking. And they were like, just relax. We're here to help you. And yeah, it's going to be fine. And I was like, okay, yeah. Like, you're on the right track. You're doing a great job. But
holy cow.
Yeah, everybody, I think, experiences wavers in their confidence from time to time. But I think it's important to just, A, surround yourself with good people that you can just be around, where you don't feel like you have to be on.
Right.
Because I think for a lot of people, the pressure to be on all the time is what chips away at their confidence.
Really?
Yeah, to be on and then to have all of these variations of self instead of just, here I am.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here I am, Robbie. Okay, here I am, Lori. Here I am, John. And you're a different person for each one of those people.
That's true. Why didn't think about that?
Yeah, so just being able to have that self with a capital S and be and relax into being that person. Yeah, we have different parts of ourselves, but we want to get to a place to where everything is integrated, to where you're just you and the complexities and layers of you are apparent to everyone that knows you and accepted by everyone that knows you.
Do you think also, that's good, do you think also confidence, so if you're lacking confidence, do you think you can, all right, so let's just say you would have called me, I'm not saying, but you would have called me, Rob, I'm nervous. I know I would have said, Lola, what the hell are you nervous? You've been in this field for how many years? Okay, good. How many people have you served? And that's way, what is it, over thousands, right?
Yeah.
You have all these years' experience. What is it that you don't think you bring to the table? But sometimes it takes somebody from the outside. So do you think to help get confident, so to keep confident, you should have almost a resume of yourself for yourself, not for out there to get a job. But if you're going to put yourself on paper, put yourself on paper, put all the positive things, and again, not